If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the One Beloved. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is, however you are, whoever you are, you belong to God. You are the One Beloved. So, if you're ready to consider that possibility, let's take a deep breath together. And just ask that the divine love that is you, that is the emanation directly from the heart of God through you, that it could manifest right through you to the degree that you could receive it at this time. Let's do that with a deep breath, with that intention. Just allow it as a golden pink shimmering light to flow down and wash over you and through you. Let it clear your mind of confusion and self-doubt. Let it wash your heart clear and clean of any grievance, of any judgments that you may have placed on yourself or another. Let's take another one of these deep inhalations of divine love. And allow it to cleanse each of the cells and the cellular memory, any part of you that has held hatred or grievance or anything less than open-hearted, loving embracement. To see it dissolving and clearing. And ask, if you would like to, for the grace of God, that pure, sweet love, to remove any impediments between your realization of yourself as love and how you have portrayed yourself up until now. Because only the loving is real. In time, everything but the loving will dissolve back into the nothingness. So our heart, filled with love, is the temple of God. Call that God by any name. Worship that presence through any form or formless. However you may imagine immortal love, it's one and the same. So let's chant three divine words, well, one word, prema, which is Sanskrit for divine love. And like all of the Sanskrit words, they resonate within our innermost scaffolding of light. They resonate a vibration in the consciousness within the nervous system, which is the value of any mantra. And so if you want to increase a quality in your life, a spiritual exercise is to chant that particular quality. And so tonight we're focusing on prema, divine love. You could also use agape, the Greek word, later on if you want to try this approach. Or you could chant divine love. You can chant it by enumerating the letters, spelling it out as you chant, or simply saying divine love. But tonight we're going to sound the Sanskrit word for divine love, prema, and we'll chant it three times. Ready? Prema. And experience the resounding of that echoing through your nervous system and your brain, the water in the cells of your body, your cellular memory. Immerse yourself in premananda, the bliss of supreme love. We are going to be sharing words from our divine avatar, the Lord Satya Sai Baba, because who better but the Lord of Love himself could speak about love? The avatar comes as an embodiment of the formless God in a form that mankind can interact with. It's always the same spirit, whether it manifested as Jesus the Christ, or Gautama Buddha, or Lord Rama, or Lord Krishna, or Shirdi Sai Baba, Satya Sai Baba, Prema Sai Baba, Maitreya. There are many, many names. But let's say it's always the principle of that energy that is the love wisdom principle in existence. The avatar is always an embodiment of the supreme love of the one formless divine essence. So it is our devotion, our corporate devotion, and our individual devotion that causes the manifestation of a divine avatar. And the word avatar simply means one who has come down from a higher dimension, planet, or state of consciousness into human form. In other words, one does not become an avatar when one has been born as a human being. One comes down as an avatar after having completed and passed through the levels of being an ordinary human, a superhuman, a master, a cosmic master, and eventually attaining perhaps a state of avatar or bodhisattva. And so the bodhisattva or the avatar comes forward for the benefit of all sentient beings. everything they do is for humanity and for all life forms. All sentient life forms have a spark of the divine. And so they've come to foster sadguna, or that particular quality of divine goodness that is inherent in all forms. Sometimes it's latent until that quickening occurs by seeing physically the avatar, which would be called darshan, having the touch of the avatar or touching the avatar, like having padanamaskar where you touch the feet. That's called sparshan. Or having words of exchange between yourself and the avatar, which is called sambhashana. And all three of these, it is said in the Vedic scriptures, grant liberation. And that applies whether you've had the experience physically, or in a vision, or in the dream state. So this world that we think is so real is only relatively real because it is in the nature of the deluding principle of God, called Maya, to come in and play, act as the many. And so when you understand how dreams arise in your mind, you will understand how the Maya arose in the consciousness of the one without a second that we call God. The cause of dreams, of course, is sleep. The cause of creation is Maya, the deluding quality of God. So when the avatar comes in human form, he comes with him Mahamaya, the great delusional principle that causes one to become confused and think that that divine form is separate. That somehow that divine form is higher, greater, more important than you are. And that's because of the deluding principle that comes always with the avatar. So that's why being in the presence of a divine being, a God-realized being, and especially an avatar, is itself a spiritual practice that your good merit has earned for you through countless lifetimes that you could not even number. So if you've been blessed to have the direct experience of being with such a being, or even knowing the devotee of such a being, or even having the good fortune of hearing about such a being, know that it is something that you have earned. Out of 7.5 billion people on this planet, very, very small number has the opportunity to physically hear about such a great being, much less to be in the actual presence of such a great being. So the first step on any spiritual path is to hear, shravana, to hear, to listen to the accounts of the great ones, the masters, angels, teachers, rishis, avatars, the Mahapurushas that have come across this planet. To listen, in a sense, is drawing near. Because when you focus your attention into that, you draw near to it. So we're drawing near. We're drawing near tonight. Sai Baba has this to say. You are all I am all you. I know I am the Atma. You believe you are the body. You are sugar dolls. I am the sugar. revere any name, the reverence reaches me. I answer to all names. Denigrate any individual, it affects me. All individuals are expressions of my will. At the present time, when we see confusion, fear, and anxiety all over the world, each of you must contribute your share of cool, calm love to suppress the anger and fury. No governmental authority can suppress it as effectively and as quickly as you can by expressing love and brotherliness. The world can be saved only by the power of the Atma, inherent in everyone. This has to be tapped by individual spiritual practice and by the grace of God, which can be won only through love, purity, and service. If spiritual practice and grace are absent, devastation and destruction are sure to follow. But why spend all of your time trying to achieve control of the mind? Practice another sadhana, another spiritual exercise. Practice seeing the divine all around you. Believe that the Atma, that divine spirit in you, is the same Atma that activates everyone else, making him and her live and move. Tolerate all kinds of persons and various opinions, all attitudes and peculiarities. The school, the home, and the society are all training grounds for tolerance. Know that the more you judge, the less you love. It is enough to cultivate the love that knows no distinction between oneself and another, because all are limbs of the one body of Almighty God. Embodiments of divine love, you are agitated today, I know, since the world is tossed on waves of unrest and insecurity. But do not blame the world for it. The unrest is just the image of your own unrest, which you have projected onto the world. The insecurity is fuming in your minds. The fear is raising its hood in your hearts. The forces of the world, the beings in nature, are all unaffected, unchanged. It is you who have changed. You are nervous, you are afraid, you have no peace. You wear the colored glasses and see everything through those glasses. Correct your vision, the world will be corrected. Reform yourselves, the world will be reformed. You create the world by your choice. You see many because you seek the many, not the one. Try instead to subsume the many into the one. The physical bodies of yourself and others, the family, the village, the community, the state, the nation, and the world. Thus you will progressively march on towards more and more inclusive loyalties and reach the stage of unity in thought, word, and deed. This is the sadhana of love, for love is expansion, inclusion, and mutualization. The individual has to become universalized, expanded, until he embodies the entire creation, the Vishwa Swarupa. Satya Sai Speaks, Volume 9. So when the avatar embodies, it is said in the Vedic scriptures that he comes with his co-workers, his comrades, his friends, his gopis and gopikas, his beloveds. And they come when he comes, from age to age. Whenever the Lord manifests, they will take embodiment. And thus it has been so for myself and probably many of you who are listening, if not all of you. I mean, why else would you be interested in listening if you were not that? But we belong to the Lord. When he says come, we come. When he says go, we go. When he says enough, it's enough. When he says finished, it is finished. We are born at his behest, and we disappear from this dimension at his behest. Our destinies are not governed by karma. They're not governed by astrology. They're not governed by anything in this world. We come as extensions of immortal love. We are not even really in highest truth born. Like the avatar, we appear in and we disappear out beyond time-space. For we come from the eternal now. And our steps are ordered. Our role has already been predetermined. The lines have been scripted that we are to deliver. Our entrance cues and our exit cues upon the stage of life has already been choreographed by the divine author of all life and all existence, who is the playwright, the director, the person giving you the cues from the wings, and the actor portraying each of our individual characters. To believe that we are in any way separate from the all that is what is termed ego. For such separation is impossible. So Sai Baba has this to say, however you are, whoever you are, you belong to me. I will never leave you or forsake you. However far you may wander, you can never outdistance my reach. I have come to impart to you the treasure of immortal bliss. I have come to instill within you that peace that nothing can disturb. Know that I dwell as the innermost core of every being. Know that and escape the snares of envy and discontent. Accept all that comes to you as my grace, as what I have deemed as best for you, to bring you to ultimate joy and fulfillment by the fastest route. To everything, say yes, this is good for me, and be happy and content. Why fear when I am here? Bring to me all of your worries, all of your fears and concerns, and take from me bliss. This is the exchange that I most relish. Do not mind what others say or what they do. What is it to you? It is your own experience that counts. Don't give ear to what others say or allow their opinions and beliefs to dissuade you from what has given you joy and satisfaction. Whatever gives you peace and joy, believe in that. That is the real basis of faith. My grace can wipe clean the slate of karma in an instant. Only for that to occur, first you must come to me with no ego. Whatever causes you to imagine that you are separate from me, different, or less than divine, that is the ego you must renounce. Put yourself fully and completely in my hands. Rest in my care and the security of my keeping. Stay there, resting fully and completely, yielding, holding nothing back. Let go and allow me full reign on the throne of your existence. Cultivate a sense of kinship with all life, for all life is one divine presence. All forms are animated by that one divine love, be it that of a tiny ant or a mighty cosmic avatar. Know that the same divine presence lives and expresses through you, as you. Live grand and godly, happy at the opportunity to express conscious godhood. Cultivate a sense of equal-mindedness that enables you to move through the varied scenarios of life with calm composure. You are no different than God. You are the Supreme Absolute Spirit. You are eternal existence, all-knowing, ever-blissful. You are ever full and free. Nothing can affect nor offend you. Allow nothing to stand in the way of your smile. Allow nothing to dim the radiance of your countenance. Happiness is divine union. So above all, cultivate happy lightheartedness. Your body is not yours. It is my dwelling place. Your body is my temple. Your thoughts are not yours. It is I that give rise to your thoughts. Even your faults are not yours. I have allotted you the role and character you are portraying. Every good drama must have contrasting characters to make the plot interesting. Therefore, enjoy whichever role I have cast you in, and play it with zeal, gusto, and enthusiasm. But bear in mind, it's only a play. You're only play acting your role, so don't be so serious about it. No castor oil faces. Take it lightly. But enact well your character. Deliver the lines in the script I've written, whatever your role has calls for, and be brilliant. Know that I've called you into this incarnation to enact roles in my drama, to be with me as my companions, and to give you joy, delight, and satisfaction in interacting with me. You are the way you are and where you are in life by my divine design for you. One day, you will marvel at how perfect every moment of your present life has been. You will realize that it was impossible for you to ever fall or fail. Failure is not possible for you. It's impossible also for you to lose anything you truly love and value. Loss is not possible for you. Failure is not possible for you. I will not even allow you to falter. You are my essence of love, extending throughout all of creation. Your glory is proclaimed by the angels, chorused by the planetary spirits, tweeted in rapturous birdsong. You are my supremely dear one, my own beloved, in whom I am exceedingly pleased. In you I delight, as my own love returning, in my own self delighting, savoring our play-acting, our cosmic dance, as we spin out worlds and twirl throughout the universes, our bliss has birthed. Yes, you are mine, and I am yours forever and evermore. We are one. We are the one beloved, the one love that upholds and sustains and nourishes all existence. Your Baba. So over and over, Sai Baba has said, this is not your life. This is my life lived through you as a vehicle. Even your thinking is not yours. Don't take it personally. You are not doing it. It flows through you. That's pretty powerful. You know, we think that we belong to ourselves. We assume that our life is made by ourselves and determined by ourselves, and that we can mess up and fail and screw up and, you know, all of the dreary stories we tell ourselves and have been conditioned to believe. But personally, it really took me aback when I realized that I belong to God. My body belongs to God. That God is the thinker, the knower, the seer, the healer, the lover, the counselor, the server, the one who ministers through this form. Meditate on that. Let that be your contemplation. That would be true meditation. So Sai Baba says that the avatar comes to reveal man to himself, to restore to him his birthright of atmic bliss. He, the avatar, comes as man in order to demonstrate that man is divine, in order to be within reach of man. The human mind cannot grasp the absolute attributeless principle, for it is abstract and beyond the reach of speech and mind and intellect. Fire is inherent in the matchstick, but it is only when it is struck as a flame that we can benefit by it. The divine without qualities, Nirguna, must manifest as the divine with qualities, Saguna. The formless has to appear with form. Then only can man listen, learn, understand, follow, and be saved to the bliss of that experience. He lights the flame of realization in each, and the age-old ignorance is destroyed in an instant. Let's do an exercise now. This is an exercise to expand your awareness. Place yourself and your imagination inside the center of your head, back between your ears, behind your forehead, between your ears. Imagine that you're an effulgent, radiant light body, sitting in a yoga posture like a golden Buddha. And now expand your awareness as if you were pushing your energy out through each of your ears. You can stay centered in the center of your skull. Just push your energy on either side out of your ears. Now, to the top of your head and your golden light form within the center of your head, send a beam of golden effulgent light out the top of your head. Now send a long shaft of golden light down through your spine, your chakra system, down through your whole body. That is the Christ. Situated in the skull of Golgotha. That is the Christ presence. Now refocus again on that golden light body in the center of your head. And with your breath, you're going to go and send your energy out through both of your ears. And it's going to flow past your shoulders. Take a deep breath. And gently release it as you expand your awareness out beyond your head until it's on either side of your body, just above your shoulders. Now expand it even more. Have the sense that you're touching the walls of the room in which you're sitting. Stay in the center of your skull and just send your awareness. Let it expand to fill the room. Now let it go beyond the room and beyond the confines or boundaries of your house or your apartment, wherever you're sitting. keep expanding, like a Google map. See your tiny little house and your tiny little area that you live on the planet, and your tiny little planet, and your tiny little solar system, and your tiny little universe. And keep expanding until everything is found within you. You just keep expanding and including and embracing . And when you want to come back into your body, clench both of your fists. And just think of being in the center of your skull. When you clench your fists, it brings your multidimensional self back into the body. Take a deep breath and integrate with your physical body and be present here and now. Open your eyes. Notice how you feel when you open your eyes. Sometimes you'll feel like you're very, very, very tall and the items in your room seem very, very small, or you can feel like you're very, very small and the items in your room are very, very big and the rug is almost under your nose. And these different sensations come as you begin to practice more multidimensional awareness. So pay attention as you do these various spiritual exercises and begin to expand your sense of presence, your sense of who and what you are. So Baba says that as long as we think there is anything different from ourselves, that we are submerged in ignorance. That there is nothing in the entirety of the universe other than you, or higher than you. To think otherwise or to try to prove otherwise is only mental delusion, resembling a dream. In your dream, you see many sights and experience various things. But for how long are they real? Only as long as your dream lasts. When the dream ends, they're all found to be unreal. So when the dream ends and the mist clears, one finds God within himself as himself. He has, in fact, never been separated from himself. He has never been lost. He could never be lost. He has never been dead. He has always been here and now, and ever will be, as the all in all. Nothing can ever come between the self and its reality, for they are one. So when one who has forgotten himself tries to recognize the truth, it must arise out of the direct experience of yourself as that indwelling presence or Atma. Because how can you recognize by praying to some other being or doing any other spiritual practice? I call that outsourcing. You can't get it by outsourcing. But it's because the One has become the many that we have developed a liking for the diversity, and it's caused us to lose sight of the unity. But we need to always remind ourselves that the things that we see around us are simply our own reflections, as if in a mirror. So leaving one actual object and running after another reflected image is due to our own delusion. And then we get bound to these things and attached to these things after which we are chasing. And so we have to give up the chase and the delusion to recognize God is. God is. Wherever you are, God is. And that's all that needs to be known. You are God. Everything is God's play. Sai Baba has another interesting thing to say that may clarify why we are born sometimes in very difficult circumstances. Embodiments of divine love. Prema Swarupa. Awake, awake. There is no longer time for slumber. You have been asleep and dreaming for thousands of lifetimes. If you do not awaken now and use this chance may not come again for 1,000 more lifetimes. Come with me. Separation is no longer the order of the day. I separated myself from myself so I could experience my own love returning. The experience is finished. Now I am drawing all of you to return and merge in the one love that we are. I gave many of you the advantage of an unhappy childhood, including conflict or separation from your mother or father. In doing this, I removed you from the temptation to become attached to human parents or a specific family situation. That left you with only one option, and that is to attach yourself to me. Why do you not avail yourself of this opportunity instead of continually seeking those relationships which can never satisfy you? Even if your childhood had been idyllic, as you would have liked it, it is not your mother's love that you need. Ultimately, it is not even the love of this name and form that you long for. Your deepest, innermost urge to become the being, the awareness, and the bliss of your own self, which is all that you ever were and all that you ever will be. Let go of the past. Stop trying to get from each other what you still think you missed in childhood or in marriage. You will never find anyone who is enough, not even me. Love yourself. Know yourself. Be yourself. Only you will ever be enough. Can you not love yourself because I love you? Have I not shown you my love over and over again? Have I not virtually moved heaven and earth to draw your recognition to me? I have asked all of you to repeat daily the mantra, I am God. I am no different from God. Now I ask you to specifically follow that instruction. That will be more helpful than any other one thing that you can do. Now remember, I love you, and do as I do. Love yourself. That's an interesting experience that comes to every mystic. A mystic, by definition, is one who is immersed in the love of God, so that, like a person who is deeply in love, the beloved is seen everywhere to the mystic. Everything reminds the mystic of the one beloved. And so, at some point, you encounter the beloved within yourself. The analogy is given of the bee. You've ever seen a very large bumblebee? They make a lot of noise, loud, loud buzzing sound. But once they settle down to drink the nectar, they're silent. And likewise, when the bee of the mind of the mystic dissolves in the loving presence of the one beloved, that one sinks into a deep, deep, silent state. It's difficult to speak or even interact for a while. After a while, you integrate and you're able to, hopefully, live and ground the energy in the world, because that's what we're to do now. But for a time in a season, a mystic may have to spend a period of time in solitude and quiet. And we've all had lifetimes probably in which we've done this, if not this lifetime. And it is, like I said, for a time and a season. But when you have that experience, you fall so deeply in love with yourself that there is no one that you love more, respect more, trust more, or would rather spend time with than your own self, with a big capital S. So we're speaking about that divine self, not your personal self. And that's when you have attained complete union with God. Union with the beloved. But what is very strange is that it's very non-phenomenal. It is so natural, so sahaja, that you may miss that you're even in that state, except you're in such a bottomless peace. The peace that truly bypasses human understanding. There's no rhyme or reason for it. There's no reason why you're happy, fulfilled, content, and no hoop-de-doo about it. No phenomena. It's just a quiet equanimity, which has been defined as sahaja, samadhi, equal mindedness that arises naturally in a unified self. I believe that state is happening to more and more people now, because it's that peace that will restore balance on our planet and our ecosystems. You know, wherever we have, through our misaligned consciousness, created havoc and destruction, would be automatically healed as we come into balance in that state. So divine absorption and the bliss of one's own divine presence. And again, to experience the presence, you can use the exercise we gave tonight, centering in the middle of your head, expanding your energy on either side, out your ears. You know those pictures of Jesus where they show the shafts of light coming out either side of his head and the top of his head and through his head? That's what he was doing. He was centered in the unified presence of his own belovedness, and that's how it manifested as those rays of light. Actually, it's holographic, and there's four, because there's one that goes out the back of the head as well. But there's a reason why artists painted those shafts of light coming out of the head of the Lord, and how they will in future paint those shafts of light coming out of your heads, because you are the saints of these times. You are the rishis. You are the great souls that have taken embodiment to birth the golden age that this avatar, Satya Sai Baba, has come, and his next embodiment, Prema Sai Baba, has come to inaugurate upon this planet, where everything, the entirety of the planet, will be transformed. And divine love, Premananda, will suffuse the entire land and the atmosphere and everything with joy and peace and creative expression. And you helped birth that, and you're here to manifest that. And your children and children's children will live to be in that. Where will we be? Wherever we choose, wherever the Lord deems best for us. But for many of us, we are going to be allowed to go beyond this earth and this creation, into that which is beyond our description, but will indeed be a time of boundless joy and fulfillment. So I bless each one of you as I allow the energy of that divine presence that dwells within me as the beloved to merge with the divine presence that is the avatar, that is the oneness we all share. May you all experience that presence for yourself and know the love that you are. Let's go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. God bless you. Namaste.